Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Yeah!
Somehow, some way, we got Ying Yang Twins into the show. That's
first
just what we do here.
All, this, I think this Lil Jon, y'all mixed black people up.
I know what I was going for. There was just no Ying Yang Twins in the system. I know what I was going for.
Trying to put, yeah, they no damn Ying Yang Twins. Okay, that Lil Jon and Eastside Boys.
I was going for the whisper song, but it wasn't in there.
You can say shake it like a salt shaker.
Wasn't in there either.
So we're going to give you another chance at 120 when we come back. We're going to go shake it like a salt shaker when you come back. You can't play whisper. That's too explicit. You talk about yin yang. You can't be talking about yin yang with the yin yang. We'll get it. We'll get canceled.
Phrasing?
We can't get canceled talking about, you know, hey, little baby, let me whisper in your ear. Tell you a little something that you need to hear.
Phrasing.
Wait till you see my. What?
What? Oh, wait, wait.
We'll get canceled.
Hey, phrasing.
Listen,
Minnie Mouse be like, hey.
So, we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore?
I mean,
show me off air.
Hour number two, it's Barton Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. And we're coming to you live from Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. And what a perfect time to bring in Jeremy Fowler, our ESPN senior NFL writer, who certainly knows the Ying Yang Twins and everything else.
He got him on his iPod.
Right, and Lil Jon, no doubt about it. Jeremy, how we doing?
Oh, no doubt. I'm good, man. I was tearing up the University of Florida club scene back in, you know, 02, 01.
Yeah, buddy.
A little Ying Yang, Lil Jon action.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Well, all right. How about this, though? Let's go to Dallas as we'll go around the NFL with you right now. Let's just go to Dallas and something that, as you heard, might be, maybe in the rejoin. You know, Bart last week said something about Dak Prescott that people took as a slight. He just said he didn't see him as a top 10 quarterback. Doesn't mean he's an 11 or 12, but didn't see him as a top 10 and gave reasons why. And then after the performance yesterday, it feels like Bart might have a point. Is there concern about Dak as a elite quarterback in Dallas?
Well, certainly there's questions about that. I think really going into the year, there were only about 12 to 13 guys you would consider, even in that conversation. Dak was one. You know, we did quarterback rankings this summer where I talked to, you know, execs and coaches around the league and have them rank quarterbacks, and Dak came in 10th ahead of Lamar at 11. Now, I think that will be certainly reversed based on this year and the way Lamar's playing, but a lot of people still see him as a top 10 guy. Nobody really sees him as a top 6 or top 5 guy, but they like, you know, they people gravitate toward pocket passers, and they think that if you're talking about those guys, he's still one of the probably 10 to 12 best.
Oh, so it's in a pocket passer category, because if this wasn't an off year for Brady and Rodgers, you have to throw them in there. Yeah. And right now, when you look at Kirk Cousins and what he's doing, you have to elevate it. I tell people all the time, success and being elite is not owned; it's rented, it's leased, and every year the rent's due. So just because you've been traditionally a good quarterback doesn't mean that you're going to remain. Everybody falls off that cliff. And when you look at, you know, what happened yesterday with the older quarterbacks in Rodgers and Brady, it looked like their teams recognized that they're not elite like that anymore, where they can just carry a franchise. They need support. And they need support with a strong running game and being great in spurts. Not being great the entire game, being, you know, great when you need those one or two throws that ultimately, you know, win and lose games. Do you think those guys are back now, or do you think their organizations has recognized that they're not elite anymore? They're still very good, and they can win games with their mind if they catch young players giving the answers to the test, either showing their blitzes or smoking them out, being able to make those elite throws.
Yeah, well, I think in relation to Rodgers and Brady, some of that is certainly true, especially with the Bucs. Like, they knew, hey, we have to run the ball. Like, we can't just have Brady thrown 40 to 50 times for as good as he's been, 45 years old. Like, you were seeing some balls going high and low a little bit. He needed support. And I think the same can be said for Aaron Rodgers to an extent, but he still looks, to me, pretty darn good or just as good throwing the ball. I don't think there's been a ton of drop-off there. They just haven't had the chemistry and the timing. You see a guy like Christian Watson break out yesterday. Not that you can expect that every week with three touchdowns, but the guys they drafted, if they can become good players, then you have a different conversation where Rodgers can still make that work as a top guy. And so, it's a fascinating time for quarterbacks because now you have these young guys that can run, and defenses have been playing teams differently with a lot more zone, trying to take away the deep ball, take away the splash play, where these running guys are killing it right now.
Mm, and you know, that's obviously the dual threat has become the big thing now in this league. But also what helps you is if when you have talent around you, when you have weapons around you, and we're seeing that with some of these young quarterbacks. But how about for Dak Prescott? Let's just go back to Dallas for a second, because is it possible that he could be adding a weapon at some point in the next couple of weeks? Odell Beckham Jr. is out there. Dallas is one of the teams. There are several. What's the latest on, and there's a lot of talk about it all weekend, what is the latest that you're hearing about the possible destination for Odell?
Well, certainly by the end of the month, we'd have some clarity. I would think around Thanksgiving, closer to early December, for him to give himself to get a chance to get healthy. Contenders are on the table. I don't get the sense after asking around that he's limited things to, you know, a small list of three teams, let's say. But they have to be a contender. That's why the Rams are tricky, right? Like a lot of people I talked to thought a month ago that he was going back to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're losing, and it kind of insulted him with their initial offer, it sounds like, months back. So that one's not looking great. Now, maybe if Cooper Kupp's out for a long time, they can persuade him, you know, to become and be the guy. I have heard a decent amount of Chiefs. I was at a game last week and heard, you know, multiple, like, agents and people talking about the Chiefs for some reason. So I think they're at least one to watch right now. They just did a Kadarius Toney deal. They have a lot of options. I don't know if they want to stretch the salary cap and go get him.
You mentioned Cooper Kupp. How about that? The injury with him, the ankle injury.
Yeah.
What are you hearing about the extent of it? Because it was, I think I saw one story where it's like it could have been a lot worse. But he still is going to miss significant time, and that obviously can impact a lot of what the defending champs are going to do this year.
Yeah, well, we're trying to track that one. You know, with West Coast time, he's still undergoing some testing that hasn't firmed up yet. But he's probably going to miss some time, I'm guessing, as of now. I would say a long shot to play this week, depending on how the testing goes. But it's not really considered right now, from what I'm hearing, to be like a catastrophic deal. So, you know, they're certainly hoping he's not out for the year or anything like that. So, you know, it looked like it was his ankle area. It could be a high ankle sprain, a variety of. But it's still, I haven't heard anything firm yet on that. Still waiting. But, they're hopeful that it's not a season ender.
Now, you know, in the during the bye week, the Giants general manager said that if he was going to talk extensions, that was the time that they would get deals done during the bye. I understand that was more for Daniel Jones, but with what Saquon is doing, do you really, really want him to hit free agency and hit open market and let the market determine his value? Do you expect them to maybe offer Saquon, or are they talking to Saquon and his team now as far as locking him in long term?
Well, it's my understanding that they did talk to him during the bye week. So they had some initial conversations. I think it was more just to see where they are. Saquon knowing his value coming off of this year and the way he's playing right now, he's not just going to take any old deal. So, and it's my understanding that the Giants, due to some of their salary cap constraints, I mean, really for the last year, GM Joe Shane's been trying to clean that up because they've been tight against it. You know, he wasn't really eager to do a massive deal at the moment. I think it would be hard to do. So, but certainly between January and March, you could see both sides coming to an agreement potentially. Like, there's certainly an opening for that, and I think both sides would be open to that.
Talking with Jeremy Fowler, going around the NFL with him right now, our ESPN senior NFL writer. And Jeremy, you know, it was hard. There was a lot of things that happened yesterday, and one of the things was an emotional one, and that involved Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders, who now we're happy for Jeff Saturday because that was a hell of a win for him in his first time on the sideline. But on the other side of it, you saw an emotional Derek Carr after the game and, you know, just talking, like him coming to tears literally about preparation and all the things that go into it. When you saw that, what is it saying about where the Raiders are right now that his quarterback would break down the way he did after another brutal loss? But then also, what does it say about Josh McDaniel in his second stint as a head coach? Where are the Raiders right now?
Oh, yeah, Alan, there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, it's This is a team that even when they started slowly, and they were 1-4, I think, like, you know, and I would talk to other people at other teams, when I talked to the Raiders, they felt like, hey, we're not a dysfunctional 1-4. Like, we're pretty good. Like, we got talent. And we were in control of almost every game and still lost. But now it's like, okay, you're 2-7. You're kind of a bad team. So there's I'm not really hearing any whispers of any issues with Josh McDaniels or this team. Like, I know the players like him. I don't think there's, like, a major hiccup there. And, you know, the GM, Dave Ziegler, is well-regarded. Like, there's a feeling that they'll get it together. But it's, you know, defensively it's been a problem. Like, they can't seem to hold on to leads. They've had some injuries there, but it's, you know, they're not getting it done on that side, certainly. And then, it's been off. I mean, you're missing Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro, two of your top three pass catchers. That's an effect, too. So it's the combination of injuries, bad luck, not closing out games, and just the weirdness of the NFL, more so than like a dysfunction or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like some type of frustration had just boiled over at that point, and just wondering, you know, certainly what it was about. Hey, Jeremy, great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for going around the league with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, all the best. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL writer. In a couple of seconds here, let's go a little bit deeper into that, what he's talking about with Derek Carr and the Raiders, and just what that sounded like after the game. Bart has an opinion on it that we certainly want to get to as well, but you need to hear it to kind of try to figure out just what has happened with that franchise. Remember, a year ago, they made the playoffs with an interim head coach and pretty much the same roster. What is wrong this year? It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance gives you protection on the phone, online, or on the app 24/7, because things happen 24/7. Quote at progressive.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, appreciate the fight that our guys have, you know, but we're going to have to learn how to take some of these close losses and make some of the plays that we need to make throughout the course of the game. It doesn't just come down to the last drive to find our way in the win column. So, like I said, only know one way to do it. Keep working, keep grinding, and try to see if we can improve and make some progress.
And that is Josh McDaniels, the head coach of the Raiders, and a Raiders team, Bart, that lost again, 25-20 to the Colts. To Jeff Saturday, the first time he's ever been on a sideline as a head coach, and the Colts come back and win that game, and the Raiders lose, and it's really what happened after that game that caught everyone's attention. Here's Derek Carr in his post game, just basically just being asked about the emotions of, you know, losing again and the way they lost, and Derek Carr just... You talk about getting emotional. It got to a point where he was brought to tears.
I love Josh. I love the car. I love our coaches. They've had nothing but success. Way more success than I've ever had. You know, I'm sorry. Sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things, you know, that a lot of us try and do just to practice. What we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off. This is a lot of guys off. It's hard knowing what some guys are doing. Like I said, just to practice what they're putting in their body just to sleep at night. Like, just so we can be there for each other. And I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place. And as a leader, that pisses me off, if I'm being honest.
All right, so the Raiders are 2-7. Derek Carr talking about how he wishes everybody in that room felt the same way. which suggests something in that locker room is a problem, and he's going public with it. How did you feel about this, Bart?
It sounds like he's on a soapbox, and he's using the world's smallest violin. Because guess what? Everybody in the league is sacrificing and putting stuff in their body just so they can practice. Like, attitude reflects leadership. When they gave you that extension, it's your responsibility, Derek Carr. It's your obligation, Derek Carr. Take the gray out of it, Derek Carr. What are we talking about? If there's people on there that you feel like aren't holding their end of the bargain, that aren't coming and practicing and caring as much, call them out. That's your job. Make it apparent. Hey, this guy isn't a Raider. Like, quit, miss me with the sentimental crap. Like, you can't change it. Like, it ain't your responsibility as the quarterback. We hear about it all the time. You know, Aaron Rodgers is calling people out. Didn't he call all his receivers out?
He did.
But take the gray out of it. See, what happens is when you become the CEO of an organization, which is basically what the quarterback is, right? Because he represents the organization. Mm-hmm. He speaks for the organization. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear all this crying about your circumstances, because you have the power to change the circumstances. Like, are you talking about Chandler Jones? Are you talking about Davante Adams? We know he wouldn't dare do that with Davante Adams.
He's clearly seeing something.
Then say something.
That he doesn't
to
like.
To Josh McDaniels. Because he's basically, like, listen.
Does this suggest weak leadership?
Yeah, don't leave it up for our interpretation. Don't put it out there and don't be specific. I wish just everybody felt that way. Well, who's everybody else then? Like, team meeting today. Like,
you know, guys don't name names, though, in these situations. You know that never happens.
Man.
You're not naming names. Aaron Rodgers doesn't name names.
Yo. Love him to death. Love him to death. Kerry Rose was a great safety for the Jets before I got here. They had just paid him bread. Guys with the Rex, like, yo, this dude, we called him Hollywood. He wasn't laying people out. He got ran over by Wes Walker. Guy was like, yo, this dude, like, yo, he ain't landed on the line for us like he's supposed to. Rex cut him the next year. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we talking about, son? With the financial stability guy comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't easy being a leader, man. So quit being a little girl. Quit being soft. Well, I'm not going to, because I don't want to associate girls with being soft. No, quit being soft.
Mm-hmm.
Step up and be a leader. Say, this guy ain't getting it done. And deal with the consequences. Be man enough that when that man come to you, be able to check him. That's what leaders do. Mess with all the, I'm just with everybody. And then, shut up, man. You sound soft. And if that's the leadership you got soft leadership, which means a soft team. And I'm not talking about soft physically. I'm talking about soft emotionally and mentally. Y'all weak. Y'all soft.
That, to me, is what it sounds like. It sounds like he's in a place
they're complaining.
Where there are people in the locker room that have a stronger
personality.
But also maybe even influence.
Yes.
That he can't overcome. He can't.
Hold up. Didn't you bring your boy Davante Adams over here?
I know.
Hasn't he spoken up in Green Bay?
Yeah.
So why can't y'all get together and speak up? If you don't, like, come together like Voltron. If you ain't got enough power or confidence in yourself, quit being soft. You got to lean up on a dude. Like, I seen dudes get squared up on. Because at the end of the day, Derek Carr, guess what? This goes on your permanent record. You the one that's going to start getting the finger pointed to. So listen, either you man up and you take control of your future, or shut up and miss me with them little weak crocodile deers. It ain't no crying in football.
888-7 We're being ESPN. Soft. 888-729
You got a problem with somebody, go tell them. That's what men do.
We go to more news from Barton Hahn Nation. We've got Donovan in Virginia hitting us up on the Dr. Call-In line on Josh McDaniels. Go ahead, Donovan.
Hey, Bart, man. First of all, what's going on? Hey, Bart, this is not on Derek Carr, man, because this dude, for the last 9 years, consistent inconsistency, man. Despite him making the NFL top 100 four times, leading the franchise record with passing TD 200-plus, four straight 4,000 passing yards, what am I going to say, man? I'm going to keep going to the front office that's changing every year. This regime came in here and took a 10-7 playoff team, turned them into 2-7. 17-point lead, lost every one of them three times, man. And now, never mind the interim head coach, we lost to an offensive coordinator that never called plays a day in his life. And meanwhile, Derek Carr is trying to show commitment to excellence, bro. This man took a pay cut, for all this talent to come in here, and this regime ain't showing them love, man. That's why I think we should go get Sean Payton, man.
Listen, Derek Carr took a pay cut because nobody else was going to pay him a long-term contract. Nobody was going to give him big-time money. He knew exactly where he was and who he was, right?
Derek Carr was 24-38 for 248 yards and two touchdowns. His team only scored 20 points, but still, I don't know if that's the problem.
How much were they up by?
You give up 25 points to a team that had all kinds of offensive trouble. They went back to Matt Ryan, who I thought was hurt.
But they went back to the formula, running the ball down their throat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a him problem, man. I'm not saying that they're...
This looks more like defense to me, does it not?
Man, no, man. Quit playing. How much were they up by?
The biggest lead in this game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to check.
It was they were up by like 17.
Okay.
Like, they were up,
yeah, I think you're about right.
They're up by 17.
No. I think they were down by 17.
No.
Were they losing this game?
No. They were winning that game. Remember, they can't close out. That's their issue.
Yes, you're right. All right.
They can't close out. So how about put some more points up? You win. Miss me with the they don't have who they don't have. They got the best receiver in the game, right?
They say they do.
So if you got the best player in the game, you still got your top running back in Josh Jacobs, then I don't miss me with you don't got enough. Everybody missing somebody, man. Like, miss me with all that. Like, everybody's playing up with backups. Everybody's playing with inconsistent rosters. Like, you're supposed to be able to overcome that.
They were down 10-0 early.
Okay.
That's what it was. I know they were down.
And then they went up. Then they went down. So what I'm saying is, like, miss me with all these crocodile tears, bro.
Yeah.
You know what you signed up for. You signed up to be here long term. You thought bringing your guy, Davante Adams, would fix all the problems, and it hasn't fixed all the problems.
Justin's in Connecticut. Justin.
Yes.
We got you, Justin. What's up?
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a lifetime Raider fan, and honestly, I understand, like, Derek Carr's frustration. He puts his heart and soul into this team, and he was trying to say is that the other players are not stepping up in the locker room. He has mentioned it before where he has spoken to them privately, and things were handled, but they're not coming to their end of the bargain.
I really hate when people try and act like Derek Carr's preparation is like just because he's a quarterback is better than everybody else.
No. And Justin, thanks for the call. But Bart, see, I'm going to push back only because I don't think that's what he was saying.
He's the hardest worker.
No.
Everybody works hard.
I don't think that's what he's saying. I don't think he's saying I do so much. Everybody else has to get at my level. I think what he's saying is there's a lot of us that go through a lot to prepare, and then some guys in that room that don't do enough. And we all got to get to the same place, and we got to care about this. I think that's what he's saying. I don't think he's trying to act like, look at all the things that I do, and that I'm doing what I'm supposed to, and these guys aren't. I think he's looking at it like there are some guys here that are flat out not giving all they got, and we need more guys to do that.
Attitude reflect leadership.
All right, that's fair. It's fair to say that.
It's your job to get it out of him.
Because him being reduced to tears after a loss kind of suggests that he's out of things to say and do. Like, he sounds like, I am so frustrated, I don't know what to do anymore. And what happens when you're in that place of where you have nothing left in the tank? You generally get emotional. He literally doesn't know what to do. This is not what he expected. It has happened this way. And he knows that it's all on Josh McDaniels, who he clearly says he loves him. He's trying to tell the world, this ain't the problem. There's a problem in that room that we've got to address, and I don't know how to do it. I think that's what he's saying. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got more of your calls on Overreaction Monday. It's Bart Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance. So if you happen to hear it on the SportsCenter update just then there, if you didn't, we'll just give it to you update here. So being reported to ABC News and other outlets as well. So last night at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, there was a shooting on a bus. So it was a bus full of students returning from a class field trip to see a play in Washington, D.C. And a suspect, I guess, got on the bus when they got into the campus and shot and killed three students. All three of the students were football players. on the currently on the team. Lavelle Davis Jr., Devin Chandler, both wide receivers, and then DeShawn Perry, who is a linebacker. The suspect that they found after a manhunt this morning is Christopher Darnell Jones Jr., who was a running back, a walk-on, in 2018. And he has had some other issues, apparently, with the campus and stuff. So, devastating news, obviously.
Heartbreaking. You know, another just senseless act of violence. And
another student, by the way, is in critical condition.
And, you know, were all the students on the bus football players, or was it just a class trip and the football players stepped up to try and save people?
Yeah, the details of that, certainly we don't know of what exactly happened. But, you know, again, it was about 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, according to police, and the shots that were heard in the dorm. So it was something that, you know, was not it shook everyone. But, football players are not football players. It's students coming back from something. You should feel safe, and it didn't. You know, and this happens, and it's either a former student or somebody who has had some history of trouble there, including letting the world know that he had a weapon.
Yeah,
and then this happens, and just wondering. And of course, we all want to know why, right?
Senseless, right? But and, you know, he'll stand trial, and I mean, just you send your kids to college, and you hope that. You know, they're going to go there. They're going to become young adults and become, you know, young adults, you know, transitioning from high school. And, you know, we all have to do it at some point, right? You know, you've done it. You know, next year my son will be going to college. And it's supposed to be a place where you're able to discover who you are. And it's a safe place for learning and discovering yourself and socializing. And this shouldn't even be a thought. And too often, you know, we hear this narrative and you never get used to it. Because every parent, every person can imagine being in that situation. You know, we've been college students, and we just wanted to learn and have fun and enjoy life as we were getting ready to transition. Just sad.
It's just, you again, these are the things you try to make sense of, and you certainly
can't.
And it's impossible to do it. And again, it's somebody that was a member of the team, but then since then has had some issues that they are reporting, ABC News is reporting. In September, there was university officials were investigating a report of Jones. This is, again, the suspect making a comment about possessing a gun, but did not make a threat. So there was also a hazing investigation, but that was later closed because of an uncooperative witness and other things that have gone on with him. So this has been a guy who's been a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, from there, that problem turned into a murder, at least suspected murder. Yeah, and that's, again, like these are the things that, you know, we talk about and you don't understand. Yeah. So it is a huge story. We certainly, with a very busy Monday, it is not something we wanted to just completely overlook or not even discuss. And again, it was in the Sports Center for those of you who get the Sports Centers at the bottom of the hour. And, you know, when we heard it, we said, you know what, we do need to address this on the show for those who might not have the Sports Center aspect in our radio show. So, you know, I hate saying it.
Yes.
Right. Again, every time I think of it, I say to myself, this sounds so empty. But what else do you say other than our thoughts and prayers? And they really are, especially as parents. You yourself as a football player, you know, our good friend Chris Canty, I mean, that is his alma mater. It is things like that that just make you pause for a second on a day like this where we try to have some fun with sports. We try to talk about sports. We're debating different things. And, you know, a story like this is not something that you just want to pass over and say, well, you know, that's a negative or sad story and we're having fun today. It's a day that, you know what, you got to acknowledge this in our world. And we just wanted to take that couple minutes here to do that. All right. So with that said, we do have your calls coming up at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Certainly a lot more to get to in the world of sports while we are thinking about this and what is going on and the devastation and the emotions happening right now at the University of Virginia. It's Barton Hall. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people that you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So we get back to your calls. It is Barton Hall, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
That was an overreaction.
Overreaction Monday.
That was uncalled for.
On Bart and Han.
Continue Overreaction Monday. I'm Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Full bank of calls stacked and racked, ready to go. So let's head to Chicago and talk to Chuck. What's happening, Chuck?
Listen, here's what needs to happen in Pittsburgh as far as the quarterback situation. They need to move on from Mr. Pickett. He is not the guy.
Wow.
He is not going to be the guy. And I think they get in the next year's draft.
So this is what I said earlier.
I know. And that fan base early on were screaming for him. Chuck is saying already, I'm done with him. They were screaming for him. No Mitch Trubisky. We want this guy. Kenny Pickett, the homegrown, hometown
Remember
guy.
Remember how swagged out he was?
Oh,
he was talking
yeah.
stuff. He loves himself. He believes in him. Hey, bro, you're 26 damn near. Like, we ain't going to be as patient with you.
You're almost as old as Mitch Trubisky. Pickett yesterday in what was a win over the Saints, which, by the way, your Saints are just...
They stay with Andy Dalton. They don't even attempt. I'm like, what did Jameis do?
Kenny Pickett, 18 of 30, 199 yards, did not throw a touchdown. He did rush for one. But, you know, like, it's underwhelming the best way to describe it at this point.
It's probably like having Cordell Stewart there. Like he
slash.
Yeah, he can run and like he'll show you athleticism, but like you can't win consistently with him throwing the ball.
Yeah, I love the way it was a couple of weeks ago, right, when he was talking about how everything that we need to do.
Yeah, he's so super swagged out.
Guys
like, bro,
looking at him
not,
like
hey, bro,
too soon.
You need to shut the hell up.
Dave is in Minnesota. Dave, what's your overreaction?
Well, Chicago probably won't like me, but go ahead, enjoy Justin Fields for his electrifying play, but don't expect to win Super Bowls when the offense depends as much on the quarterback's legs as you do his arm. However, look at Jalen Hurts and how he transformed his game and became so much better a passer from the pocket until guys like Lamar Jackson and Vic. Yeah, Lamar Jackson's taken some baby steps in that direction, but until Lamar and Fields become better from the pocket, you're not going to go very far in the playoffs, let alone win a Super Bowl. Look at Starr, Bradshaw, Greasy, Plunkett, Brady, Montana, Aikman.
It's a different game. It's a different game.
I rest my case.
It's a different game because if you look at Patrick Mahomes, he ran like crazy, 73 yards. Like you have to understand and accept that the game is changing, and those type of quarterbacks aren't going to be the ones that's winning titles. Because even if you look at Josh Allen, he's a athletic, mobile quarterback. Justin Herbert, the same. Trevor Lawrence. So, like, miss me with all that. Like, they'll never win. This is the first year, and this is the best way for them to win. You know what they do have? They have $100 million to go out and surround him with the same type of talent that Philadelphia surrounded Jalen Hurts with. Ask me this. Didn't Justin Fields win a Heisman? Or wasn't he right there for the Heisman?
Yeah.
So what are we talking about? Because if you want to compare resumes, his resume is better than Jalen Hurts in college. Like, he was considered better prospect.
I'll read this for you because this is one of the analyses of him.
He's a hating Chicago fan.
He was known, and thanks for the call, Dave. A dual threat, yes, but he was more of a pocket passer.
He never ran.
In college.
He's just doing what he has to do to give his team the best chance to win because he don't have no damn receivers.
I'm reading his pre-draft.
Yes.
And it's all about, you know, plenty of zip for long field side throws. Usually finds a firm, sturdy passing base beneath him. Right? All about his, you know.
He never ran in
comfortable
college.
Throwing intermediate zone windows. Willing to take a big hit to deliver a pass. Good command accuracy. Keeps defense honest with his legs. Is like one of the last things they mention.
You don't know why he was
Chase Claypool, by the way, who they traded for. Now,
he's okay.
You mentioned Jalen Hurts. Well, when did Jalen Hurts become a good pocket passer? When A.J. Brown showed up.
And Devontae Smith. Because he went looking great with Rieger.
So you need those things. Chase Claypool played yesterday. It was the first time they got together. He had two targets. So right. He hasn't really gotten into
the
offense.
And they have no offensive line.
And that's
and Jalen Hurts have the best offensive line of football.
Yeah, you almost have to run.
See, it almost like he's like trying to like pour water on his performances. And it was some undertones in there that I wasn't really comfortable with because he named me all pocket white quarterbacks.
I know what you were going there.
And you look at the game is changing. All those guys, you know, he went back to Bradshaw.
Yeah, I
guess what? Black quarterbacks weren't allowed to play when Bradshaw was there. Or we would have had this athletic movement well before with the best athlete, not just the quarterback. You know, usually the best athlete goes for the best position, mm-hmm. and the most prime position is quarterback, but the best athlete wasn't allowed to play quarterback.
He's saying you can't win you a Super Bowl, which if you're going to go to that, you're not paying attention to
where the game is going.
That? Oh, and by the way, who do we think can win a Super Bowl? Josh Allen. Is he just a straight-up pocket passer? In fact, was he good at that?
Have you seen Patrick Mahomes lately?
And Patrick Mahomes doesn't stand still?
Have you seen Steve Young? Steve Young is up there as one of the most yards rushing. He got like 5,000 yards rushing.
Did he not win a Super Bowl?
And he went to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
See, it was a little colorism with involved in that. And maybe he didn't understand that, or maybe he didn't grasp it. But
I don't
John,
think he realized what he was. I'm not going to try to assume that he was trying to go there.
Look at Bradshaw, you won't win anything. First of all, John Elway was one of the most electrifying players with his legs as well. But Steve Young was always that. Steve Young would just take off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so go back and look. When Lamar Jackson passed, one of those guys he just passed was Steve Young in career rushing yards. Steve Young was at like 5,000-something yards rushing.
Yeah, it's fair. I just think mobility is critical in today's game. I do believe that is where everybody wants the dual-threat guy now.
How can you be a fan and be carboshing this after what the expectations for this team was?
Now,
he's giving you an exciting brand of football that you can win with. They got rid of their two best defensive players, and they're competitive in games. They got $100 million. They got a crap load of draft equity, and you're going to carbosh it? Talking about you can't enjoy it.
You got a quarterback that you might want to play with, too. Yeah. Like, you think about it, like, you might want to play with this guy. But, you know, the other thing is, I can find other ways to criticize the Justin Fields hype right now. If you want to criticize the Justin Fields hype, there's other ways you can do it. And one of them is, you're not winning. Like, the team itself.
Yeah, but they lost by one.
No, I get
it. And he's doing everything by himself. And they won the week before.
I'm looking at it like, all right, there's something there. And that's a good thing. But let's not get crazy and just start going over the top about what he is right now.
Right.
What he is right now is you made him one-dimensional because it's the only dimension that you can have any kind of success in. And that's what I think Matt Eberflus and company recognized, is that, you know what? Let's try this because we can't pass because we can't protect and we don't have really the best targets.
But you know what? Do you notice he put Lamar Jackson in that same conversation? Right? So, like, the former MVP at 25 years old, you can't win with him. Okay, but you can win with Terry Bradshaw, who had Lynn Swan and who's the other receiver? He had two Hall of Fame receivers with him and a Hall of Fame running back. So, come on, miss me with all that, bro.
Terry Bradshaw's knees were all banged up, too, right? He got wrecked early in his career. He if he could have won, he might. Oh, by the way, you know who actually used to run a lot before he hurt his knees? Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Joe Namath was in college, much different quarterback than he was in the NFL.
Who's the guy for Minnesota?
More Overreaction Monday and the BS Translator coming up next. Stay with us.
Bart and Han.